Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. It's so good to see each and every one of you that braved the wave, said that the devil's not going to stop me from getting my blessing. Amen. Yeah, because I was helping people this morning. My snowblower, I go down all the whole block one way. But today, my snowblower, something happened to it. Just every time I hit the snow, it wasn't working. But, you know, thank and praise God. You know, random act of kindness that we do to other people is what opens up the door for us to share with other people. I got three ladies that were stuck because they came. Got to get the cars. I live in Kingston. You got to get the cars off the street. And I seen the city flashing and stuff, and they were telling the people, screaming out the window, you got to get your cars. And these ladies were panicking and panicking. I said, listen, just take it easy. And like all three of them in one row, I said, we'll get the first one out, and all the rest of you just follow them out. So I just praise God for all things. So when I get done, I got to go home and shovel my driveway, which is about 150 feet, but it's all good. It's all good because I wasn't going to let the enemy stop me. It would have been easy for me to just say, you know, I'll call. I know Chris is there. I can't get out. I got a shovel. You know, yada, yada, yada. We can all make up excuses why we can't. But the thing of it is we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. So that's the way I look at it. And I knew that people were going to be here because we do not close. If there had been two of yous here, we would have still been preaching the gospel. Amen. Because that's what it's all about. Because he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, that I will be in the midst of them. Amen. Because we come here to see Jesus. You don't come here to see me. Amen. And you come to hear from him, you know, what he has. So we just thank and praise God for this day. Thank and praise God for each and every one of you. You know, just be careful on your way home. You know, I was always told, don't drive for yourself. Drive for everybody else who's on the road. You know how to drive. Everybody else might not know how to drive. So we just thank and praise God. Just pray for our brothers and sisters, for those who couldn't make it for whatever reasons that they could not. You know what I mean? Come through. That's right. That's right. Praise him, girl. That's right. Give him the praise. Hallelujah. That's right. Yeah, glory to God. That's right. Amen. Children are our blessings. They don't bother me. They bother a lot of other preachers, but they don't bother me. Yeah, that's right. Come on. That's my amen corner over there, right? Yeah, girl. Get me warmed up, huh? That's right. Yeah, see? There we go. But it's all good, you know? Let us turn our Bibles to Romans 8. We're going to start in Romans 8 in the 27th verse. Yes, yes. It's all right. She's good. You ain't got to move her. Don't even worry about it, you know? That's right. Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in this, the 26th verse. I said 27th. I just want to start in the 26th verse where it talks about the intercession of the Holy Spirit, all right? And as we go through this, I want you to understand that God is so good and so gracious to us that he has given us the advantage, all right? Because even when we be acting crazy, saying all types of crazy prayers and stuff, that the Holy Spirit is there to intercede in our behalf, all right? You know, because I got to tell my wife one time she wanted a crane to drop on because she was mad at me. what was it? It was lightning. She wanted me to get hit by... It wasn't a crane. I want you to get hit by lightning. Let's clear it up here, you know. You know. So God didn't answer that crazy prayer that she was praying that day. Amen. All right. It says, likewise, in verse 26, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray or what we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Father, we just thank you right now, dear God, for your awesome presence that was already felt here today, O God. Lord, we pray right now, dear God, that you would just touch our hearts and speak to our minds and our spirits, O God. What thus says the Spirit of the Lord? Father, we just open ourselves to you right now, dear God, that you would just speak into the depths of our spirits, O God. Lord Jesus, you said that your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before we even ask for it. So we just thank you that you have us covered in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was saying that, sometimes we have to realize that God has us covered. Okay, you have the Holy Spirit that's interceding in on your behalf. You have Jesus who is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for you each and every day. Two-thirds of the Godhead is praying for you, interceding for you, all right? Making requests for God, you know, in your behalf. And what I want to talk about, if I have to give it a topic, what I was thinking as I was reading, you know, that God's design plan, and that we are more than conquered. This is what Paul was trying to make the church see, that there's a divine plan for your life, all right? That you're not just haplessly living a life trying to figure it out, even though we do try to figure out where our place is. But God has put purpose in each and every one of our hearts, amen? And it's up to us to search, you know, the word and ask God and get before him, you know, to see, God, what exactly this plan is for my life, okay? I know I struggled and I waffled for a while and I did what I thought was right and did things that make me look good, do things that make me feel good. But then ultimately, God had to get involved and said, you're going the wrong way, son. I got to show you what it's all about, amen? And praise God, here I am now. So I know what my purpose is. I know what God has designed me to do. But it doesn't matter what happens in our lives. A lot of times as believers, what happens where the trouble comes and our faith gets weak is because of the different situations and circumstances that we incur on a day-to-day basis. Amen? That's why verse 28 says that, and we know. All right? First of all, 27, it says, now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the spirit is, because he makes intercession for all the saints according to the will of God. You understand that? The Holy Spirit's making intercession according to what God's will is for your life, not according to your plan. So no matter what we do, or no matter what we pray, even when we pray, if it's not according to the will of God for your life, the Holy Spirit's saying, listen, Father, okay? Right now, they're just bugging out a little bit because the pressure's just a little bit too tight. But what they really mean is they want to do your purpose for their lives, all right? So even when we do get a little flustered, even when we do get a little upset, even when we feel that this pressure is too much for my life, understand you have somebody that searches your heart, somebody that looks into what you're going through, somebody that feels every little thing that you're going through. Turn to Psalms 139, all right? It says that he searches the hearts. And I want you to understand something about the God that you serve. Psalms 139. All right, the psalmist David, who wrote this psalm, speaks of the God that we serve. Are you there? Amen? He says, O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my paths and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. That's the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, that knows you all together, that knows every emotion, all right, knows every tear, knows every anxiety, knows everything that's going on in your life. And he's the one that helps up when we don't know how to pray or what we're even praying for, that he gets in the way. Amen? Thank God for that. Why? Because God has a divine plan for your life. God's plan is that you conquer and that you don't fail. All right? That's God's plan for your life. And I know a lot of times we just do things thinking that we're messing things up, but you can't mess up the plan of God for your life. Because God has invested too much in you through Jesus Christ to allow you to mess up the plan. You know, I got all these friends. I keep asking them. I said, when you going to come to church, bro? You know, when you going to come and get it right? And they always want to tell, oh, man, I come to your church. The church is going to fall down. Like God, like they living a life of God is saying, oh, I didn't think about that one. Yeah, right. Okay? If he knows that much about you, if he knows you're rising up, he knows you're sitting down, he knows every thought that you even think and every word before you even speak it, I think he knows you very well. That's somebody that knows you, right? And that's what we have to understand, that God has given a divine plan and he has given us his spirit. So therefore, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God and those who are called, okay, according to his purpose. God has called you according to his purpose through your relationship with the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. The day you said yes to the cross, God took over. All right. Your purposes are no longer going to matter because my purpose is now going to come into play. Amen. Let me just read this to you from the Amplified Bible. It says that we are assured. First of all, it says verse 27. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God on behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will, all right? Everything that God knows about you, you're rising down, you're sitting up, all them things the psalmists talk about in Psalms 139, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is interceding, which means he's stepping in the way, that he is pleading your case before God, all right? Which is according to and in harmony with God's will. We are assured to know that God, being a partner in their labor, that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for the good to all those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom, verse 29, for whom he foreknew and whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, afore ordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the first among many brethren. That is God's whole plan and God's whole design for your life, that you start walking, talking, acting, and speaking like Jesus Christ. And God uses everything that's happening in your life, every situation, every circumstance, every in, every out, every up, every down. God knows. It's a preordained plan. Amen? Because it was in the beginning. See, Genesis 1:26 will never change, because God said, in the beginning, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. Amen? And the image is just a reflection, all right? When you think of the image, it's a reflection, okay? Image, to resemble, to be like. That's what we are supposed to be like. We are to reflect God in the earth, all right? The likeness of God, all right? A statue, a profile, a representation, a resemblance of who Jesus Christ is in the earth, the champion. Jesus came and championed life. Lived the sinless life in the same perverse world. I was telling the church last week that Jesus said that, called the times that he was living is in an evil and perverse generation. It's no different than then. It's just to the thousandth power right now because there's more people. Amen? But it doesn't matter the situation or circumstance that you find yourself in. Understand one thing. From God's perspective, you are supposed to reflect me in the earth. You are supposed to have my likeness in every situation, in every circumstance, no matter how difficult it may be, all right? Because remember, even when you think the bottom is falling out, even when you think the situation is too difficult, even when you think I don't have the resources, I don't have the education, I don't have the knowledge of this, all things are working together for the good. Why? For those who love the Lord. Do you love God? Then all things in your life are working together for the good, for those who love them and those who are called according to his purpose. You understand? When you said yes to Jesus, God's purpose took over, all right? And God, Philippians 1:6 says that he that began a good work in you is able to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. So when you said yes to Jesus, God's plan kicked in because he is the one that began the good work. And he is able to complete it. He knows what exactly it's going to take to get you to that place. If I got a little pressure on you, I'm going to put some pressure on you. Amen? If I got to bring a little pain, I'm going to bring a little pain. Because pain changes things. Amen? Pain makes you respond. All right? I don't care what type of pain. It could be a toothache, earache, footache. It makes you respond, right? So God uses pain because he knows that's what makes us respond. Right? 9/11. Once that them planes hit the tower, them terrorists came, there wasn't an empty seat in the church for 2 months. When they thought the end was coming, this is it. Everybody running to the church house. Why? Because that pain was too much to deal with. Everybody was searching for God. See, God knows how to get you to the place where you need to be. But then once everything started becoming business as usual, the church is empty back out. But that shouldn't be the way for those of us who love God. Not the ones who are called according to his purpose. Amen? See, the foreknew, in verse 29, it says that whom he foreknew, which means God's awareness of the actual and potential of your future, being acquainted with. God already knew what he has put inside of you. And that's why sometimes as pastors, we push you into areas. We put you in areas of leadership. We put you in places where we can pull up out of you what we see that's already inside of you that you cannot see in yourself. That's why God brings certain people into your lives. Because what he put inside of you, he has to pull up out of you. That's why Paul said, work out your own soul salvation in fear and trembling. Okay? That salvation package comes with gifts. That salvation package comes with anointing. That salvation packages come with things that are designed by God for the purpose of your life. Amen? We're living in a world now, and I hear people all the time, and I told the guys I'm working with the other day, I said, you know what? I said, I think after this job, this is it for me. You know, I walked out of a job. I left the Carpenters Union in 2004. I was doing a job at Culinary Institute over there by the Hudson River, on the other side of the river by Poughkeepsie. It was 25 below zero with the wind and howling. It was 40 below zero right by the water there. And we started at 7 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, my feet, I thought I was walking on ice blocks or something. And I just stopped. I said, what am I doing? What am I doing out here? I said, this is ridiculous. And I just walked. And here comes the superintendent. He's coming down. And I said, look, buddy. If it ain't 32 degrees, don't call me. And I just walked away. And he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going home. He said, you're quitting? I said, if that's what you're calling it. I said, but I'm going home, okay? And he says, listen, you know, he said that you're not going to get unemployment. I said, listen, God's my source. This job is just a resource. I don't care about unemployment. I said, but I ain't taking no more of this coal, all right? So, and I'm doing the same thing, you know, working anyway. But it's just in my spirit where it's time to give it up, all right? I've been doing it for 30 years. It's time for give it up. And they said to me, well, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something different, okay? I ain't going to keep doing this. I said, I'm going to do something different because I believe in my spirit that all things work together for the good. You don't have to know. You know, sometimes we miss out on God's blessing. Sometimes we miss out on God's purposes because I need to know. Abraham didn't know. He told him, listen, go sacrifice that kid and go to a mountain I'm going to show you. All right? Now, could you imagine? Here's Abraham, has to go sacrifice his son, and God's telling him, go to where I'm going to show you. All right? He didn't give him no directive and don't give us no purposes sometimes. But you have to understand, it said that whom he foreknew. All right? He told Jeremiah. He said, before you were in your mother's womb, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. All right? Before God even got to making the earth, before God even said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, spiritually, God knew who we were. Spiritually, God knew what exactly he placed inside of you. Spiritually, God knew that you would be able to speak to some people that I can't speak to, speak to people that Chris can't speak to, and it's vice versa, that Chris can only speak to people that he can speak to. Amen? Why? Because God knew what he placed inside of you. God knew that smile you have on your face. God knew the eyes that he placed in your eye sockets. God knew that the voice that you got was going to attract people to who he is. Amen? As long as we are reflecting him in the earth, as long as we're walking in the likeness of Christ. And what is that like? Jesus, when the woman was caught in adultery, the only one who could have picked up a rock, Because when he gave them, he said, those who were without sin, then you cast the first stone. And the only one that could have cast the first stone was Christ himself. But what did he say to the woman? Where are your accusers? Okay? She said, I don't have none. And he said, neither did I accuse you. Go, but sin no more. Amen? So if we're going to walk in the likeness of Christ, then we cannot stand in the judgment seat. Because we don't know people's situation and circumstances or how hard life had hit them to draw them into the place where they were. Amen? You don't know people's situation. Our job is not to judge what's going on. Our job is to walk like Christ and show them love and compassion. Amen? Our job is to interact with them the same way Jesus did. Look at the woman at the well. Here's a woman who had five husbands, okay? And the one she was living with wasn't her husband. Amen? But because of the conversation that Jesus had with her, he made her see that she had value because she was looking in love with all the, in looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen? And that's what you have to understand. That same spirit that lives inside of you is that same spirit that can discern the hurting, the pain that is in other people's lives. If we stop looking at people in their actions and start looking at people, that's a potential soul to be saved. That's a soul that is hurt. That's a person that's depressed. That's a person that's been through challenges that they don't know that there's somebody who died and loved them that's willing to lift them up from any despair that's going on in their lives. Amen? Because that's what we have to understand. That's God's purpose. God's purpose, whom he foreknew. Ephesians 2 and 10 that says that we are his workmanship. The Amplified says that we are his workmanship. Ephesians 2 and 10, please. This is my administrative assistant. That we are his workmanship. All right? The Amplified that says that we are his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen? It didn't matter what your lifestyle. See, sometimes we get hung up in my lifestyle. If I got hung, listen, I was a drug dealer. I was in prison. I used to sniff cocaine, smoke reefer, alcohol, ladies, the whole nine. If I got caught up in that, okay, what I used to be, I would never be able to do what I'm doing now. It ain't where you started. It's where you're going. All right? It doesn't matter where you started. God knew exactly what he was getting the day when you said yes to Jesus. What do you think? You surprised God with your lifestyle? Huh? You think he was surprised? Oh, this one here. Oh, my. I didn't know she was like that. I didn't know. What do you think? He's surprised. He said he knows everything about you. So you ain't surprising God. But he wants you to see. All right. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in, that we should walk in them, living the good life which is prearranged and made ready for us to live. See, God already got a plan. You don't need a plan, all right? He got the plan. Jeremiah 11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good and not of evil, plans to give you a hope and plans to give you a future, all right? That's God's plan for you, and he said that you will find me when you seek me and find me with all your heart. See, when you go after God the way you went after everything else in this life, that's when you're going to find him, because you found everything else you were looking for when you went after it, right? So it's no different with God, but understand what he says. This is a preordained plan. Why? Because I foreknew you. I know who you are. Paul said, when I was in the womb, God called me to be the minister of this gospel. God knows who you are. Your father and mother were just the instrument to get you here. Understand? But you were created by him. It says recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. From God's perspective, you're a brand new person. He don't look at you through all that mess that we came through before we got here. You understand that? He don't look at none of that. He looks at who you are now. He looks at you through the blood of Jesus. God predestined, okay? Whom he predestined. This is a predestination thing. Whom he foreknew, in verse 29, he also predestined to be conformed, okay? Each day of your life, every second of your life, God is shaping you. God is making you. God is molding you. The whole thing of it is you got to respond to the hand of God that's on your life, no matter how it is. Even if it don't feel good, it said all things are working together for the good. He didn't say all things are going to be good. Okay? He said, but all things are working together for the good. There's things that go in my life, I don't like it. Okay? And I said, God, could this one be a quick one, please? With this little thing we going through right now, can we kind of hit the speed button on this one? Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, I go through just like you go through. I don't have to pass the button which exonerates me from the ills of this world, but I just understand what this word says. And if you understand what this word says, listen, God predestined the plan. I'm still in Ephesians 2 and 10. For us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, which you should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for you to live. God has a prearranged plan for you to live the good life. How many want to live the good life? All right? How many tired of that old life? How many tired of crying? Going around the mountain, one more lap. Okay? God has a prearranged plan for you, and it said that living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So if somebody has a prearranged plan and it's a good life made ready for you to live, and you say you're ready to live it, then you need to go home and get before God and say, hey, listen, I'm tired of this mess. I want this. Show me this one here. Show me this plan, God. Show me this plan right here in Ephesians 2 and 10 in the Amplified. Show me this right here for my life. And that's when God's going to show up. Why? Because God knows when you're serious about what you want to do. My deliverance came. Listen, I was cocaine addicted. All right, for all those who don't know me, some of you have heard this before, but, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Okay? 3 to 5 grams of cocaine per day, every day for 5 years that I can remember, all right, that I can remember. But the day I said, I can't take this no more, I said, God, I can't take this no more, bang, hit me. I was in my apartment. I wasn't in church. Because God will show up in your shower, in your car. When you cry from your heart, he'll show up everywhere, okay? But bam, I got hit. And when I got up, because he knocked me right there, when I got up, it was like everything was different. I never went to rehab, and I never went back. It was gone. It was gone. It was gone, completely gone. That was 20 years ago or some time ago, and I still got buddies. They still out there. Jesus. But see, things don't change in your life until you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Because once you become sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when the things are going to change. But you have to realize that God has a design plan for your life, and that design plan that you are to be more than a conqueror. All right? Life ain't supposed to conquer us. We're supposed to conquer life. Each and every day of our life. Whatever you got to do. All right? There's some people you're going to have to show them where the exit. See the exit sign back there? We got one over there. Some people in your life, you got to show them the exit door. You got to go. You got to go. There's certain situations in your life that you're going to have to change. You got to go. You'll be fine. Listen, when I got out of prison, I had my buddies. They were like, man, I'll put you back. I said, no, you're not. I said, I ain't even going to hang with you no more. That's how serious I am about this. Because I wasn't going back. I done had enough. I done had enough pain. I had enough misery in my life. I could do bad all by myself. I don't need you to help me. Okay? I do a good job all by myself. I don't need help with that. And that's anybody. But you have to understand there's a preordained plan for me. All right? Say it. There's a preordained plan for me. You know, and then you got to find a plan. God has made this plan for you, and you just got to find it, and you got to walk in it each and every day of your life. Is there going to be struggles? Yes, there is. Is there going to be challenges? Yes, there is. But guess what? God has made you fit for the challenge. God has made you fit for the fight. But see, we don't want to fight because sometimes the fight is too long. You know? Boxers, it ain't always a one-round knockout. Sometimes it's 15 rounds, toe-to-toe, all right? But we have to understand that our weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Whatever's in your way, that's a stronghold, whatever's blocking you, whatever's keeping your thinking off God and have your mind on anything else, that's a stronghold. But Paul said our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of them strongholds. God has given you what it takes through the power of prayer, through speaking in tongues, through the Holy Spirit operating in your life to pull down any stronghold that's in your life. But are you willing to fight? Are you willing to fight for your freedom? Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is truly free indeed. You're already free. You got to walk in it. Listen, look at verse 30, what it says here. See, I done lost my place trying to get somewhere else. Listen to what it says in verse 30 there. If somebody get it for me, go ahead. You can read it. All right? Because we learned together. It says, moreover, whom he predestined, which was you. Okay? If he predestined you, which he did, if he told the prophet Jeremiah, listen, before you in your mother's womb, I ordained you. Predestination is an ordained plan from God for your life. He said, I ordained you to be a prophet of the nation. And he said, listen, I'm a kid. I can't speak. God said, don't say that again. I'm going to put the words in your mouth. See, all we got to do is show up. All right? Let's get to the point where even though I don't understand God, I'm going to make myself available. I don't understand what you want me to do, how you want me to do it, but here I am. Okay? Here I am. Verse 30 says, moreover, whom he predestined, these. Okay? If you got a preordained plan in your life, guess what? These also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Just as if you ain't did nothing. You realize that? Your justification, when God looks at you through the blood of Jesus, it's like you never even did anything. How you like that? Okay? Care who you are. Your testimony might not be like mine, but I know we all got the cooties, okay? All right, this thing about Christianity and sin, we all got it, okay? So it ain't like that he got it and you don't know we all got it. But because of Christ, do you understand that? Justified, just as if I'd never did nothing. Just as if I'd never lied, just as if I'd never stole, if that was your thing, okay, or whatever it was. Okay, when God looks at you, it's just that you have never, ever did anything. All right? Ever. Ever, ever, ever. But also, whom he justified, these he also glorified. Talking about the eternal glory that will come the day that Jesus comes back. Do you realize you can walk in that? Because, see, God, it's a finished work. When Jesus said, it's finished, all this stuff belongs to us. That's why all things are working together for the good. All right? See, because once you get this inside of you, you're going to start being like MC Hammer, can't touch this, all right? Stuff's going to be coming at you, and you're going to be like, can't touch this. Back it up, all right? Because you understand that I have been justified. I've been called to do this. That's why nobody can stop me on my job in the mall, in the bank. See, I got one that fuses. All you got to do is start talking about Jesus, and boom, let's hit it. You in the bank, we going to roll. You want to start talking about Jesus, listen, don't start nothing if you don't want nothing, okay? If you don't start nothing, it won't be nothing. You start talking about Jesus with me in ShopRite, it's on. There you go. It's on. She know. She know. Why? Because I know what he has done for me. I know personally what he has done for me. And that's what you have to understand. You know you were where you were when Jesus showed up in your life. You knew the pain. You knew the hell you were in. You knew all the pressure that was on your life, and Jesus came and relieved all that stuff. So that way, when you read this, you understand that God, you already had a plan for my life. You knew. See, because when God created man, even before he created man, you got to remember, Psalms 139 talks about the omniscience of God, which means God has perfect knowledge of human history and human life. Why? Because he is the one that created it. And he knew, as he was creating man in the spirit, that I'm going to put this free will thing in him, all right? Free will is that you know what the right thing is to do, but you choose to do what you want to do. That's free will, all right? That's why Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says, I call the heavens and earth as a witness against you that I place before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, just in case we didn't understand him. See why? Because you're never going to be able to stand before God and say, why didn't you stop me? Because God said, I gave you free will to choose. I gave you perfect knowledge of blessings, cursings, good and evil, but I left it up to you to make a choice. You understand? We are responsible. The same way the people were responsible for killing Jesus, we are responsible for our own behavior and for our own actions. I'm not the sin police. I ain't going to chase you around watching to see what you're doing. You understand? Because as believers who love God, we are supposed to be responsible for ourselves. And there's times you're going to miss the mark. Yes, you are. All right? Because you didn't sneak out of heaven yesterday. All right? So you're going to miss the mark. But guess what? We're covered. Get back in your righteousness. Because it said that whom he called, all right, those who he predestined, he called. Those he called, he also justified. Walk in your justification. All right? Yes, the temptation is going to be there. Yes, the anxiety is going to be there. Yes, the fear is going to be there. All that stuff is going to be there, but don't let it stop you from getting off the plan that God has for your life. Because it's a good plan. We heard that. We listened. You heard that in Ephesians 2 and 10. A plan for you to live the good life, prearranged for already for you to live. That's what I want to live. Each and every day I'm searching God. Am I doing the right thing? God, are these the right people that's supposed to be in my life? God, are these the people that's going to pick me up? Or are these the people that's going to pull me down? Because people do two things to your life. Either they add to your life or they're subtracted from your life. And all of us got them. Some of them in our families, friends, you know, co-workers. But we have to understand who we are because there's a design plan for my life. Let me see that thing again. The amplified Romans. All right? Because there is a design plan for your life. God has designed it that way. God has designed you that way. This thing moves way too fast for me. Okay. All right? That there is a design plan for your life. Does everybody understand that? Here it is. In Romans 8:28, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, meaning us, all things are working together, are fitting into the plan for the good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. All right? You know, the ladies that go and sew and do all that stuff when you just go to them little fabric stores or whatever you just do, they give you a pattern, right? You see whatever it is you want to put on that night or for whatever the event is coming on. And there's a pattern, right? So you go and you buy the material, but you buy that little thing to make sure that you got the right pattern and you have the right design. You understand? And so therefore, we have to go to God the same way to make sure that I get the right pattern and I get the right design for me, okay? See, one thing I like about David, if you read the stories about David, everybody always talks about Bathsheba and all that, okay, where he blew it badly. But the wisdom that he had because of his relationship with God, when it came to fight, probably the biggest fight in his life, when he had to fight Goliath, all right, even though he was offered the king's armor, all right? Now, here's the king. He's scared to fight, all right? But you're going to give me your armor, and you don't even want to put it on, all right? Everybody's armor is not going to fit you, all right? Just because you see somebody else doing it don't mean that's what God designed you to do. It might look good and something that you might like, but that's not what I called you to do. Remember when Jesus, when he got Peter, when he restored Peter and John, and he said, listen, he said, go feed my sheep. Three times, right? Peter, you love me? Peter, you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Here come Peter. You know what I mean? Always putting his foot in the back. What about him? Pointing at John. Jesus said, I ain't talking about John. I'm talking about you. All right? See, because too many times we got our eyes on so many other people or so many other things that we ain't even looking at how much purpose and how much design God has put in my life. See, it's always to look at everybody else. You know what I mean? The kids. Everybody want to be like Mike. Michael Jordan, you know that, right? Want to be like Mike. No, how about being like Jesus? How about being like him? Because that's what I was designed to be. Because it said that whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image and likeness that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Conformity. Jointly formed. Similar. All right? Fashion-like. Understand, in God's eyes, you were fashioned just like his son the day when you said yes to the cross. Yes, I accept what you did for me. From that point on, the Holy Ghost is fashioning your mind, fashioning your words, fashioning your emotions, fashioning everything that is about you. That's why Paul said in Romans 12, 1, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Because we serve a holy God. Amen? We serve a holy God. That's who he is. Holiness is the essence, is the character of God. That's who he is. He'll never change. It's a high standard, but that's the bar. Jesus set the bar with his lifestyle. The book of Isaiah said God has given us a leader and a commander. I don't need you to lead me. I already got one. I got a leader. You understand? Now, don't get me wrong. On your job, there's certain people put in positions who are leaders, and you must follow them if you want to keep your job, all right? But you don't have to follow everything they do, all right? When it comes to life, when it comes to this Christianity, when it comes to us being who God called us to be and understanding that God's purposes are unfailing in my life, all right? God ain't going to let you mess up. Not if you have a heart and a desire to please him. God ain't going to let you mess up. Even when you try to mess up, he won't let you mess up. How good is that? You understand? And that's what we have to understand, that God has a preordained plan for my life. And if you didn't understand that today, please understand that. All right? And get before the Lord and ask him, Father, what is your plan for my life? All right? Even in the midst of. All right? So what? You're the worship leader or you're on the worship team. That's just part of the plan. That's not the whole plan. You understand that? Just like me being a preacher and doing what I do. That's just part of the plan. That's not the whole plan. God has a whole plan for our lives, not just part of the plan. But we want to get stuck on just part of the plan. But understand, God's plan is bigger than what we're thinking. God's plan is bigger than what we're living. God's plan is bigger, okay? Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh with where? Within us. Because of the Spirit of God that's living inside of you. That's why he's going to work through that Spirit that I have placed inside of you. That's the only place where God can operate. He's not going to operate outside of you because it said inward likeness when it comes to Christ. Inwardly am I living like Jesus. See, because all of us can fake everybody out on the outward. But how about inwardly? Because David said, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Right? It's what's going on inside of you. See, because your public life is just an extension of your private life. That's it. You know, there shouldn't be two different people. Shouldn't be Jekyll and Hyde in you that we see somebody on Sunday at home groups and all the rest of the times when we see you and you're one person. And then when you go home, you're a totally different person. Amen? That's not the way it is. That's not the design for us. That's not what God has sent his son to do through us, for us, and in us. Amen? That's what God that's what God has done. He knows us. He knows us very well. God knows us very good. Turn to Jeremiah 17 right quick before I close. All right? Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah, Jeremiah, or the table of context, whatever you get there first. However you get there. All right? Listen to what God says. First of all, look at verse 7. Blessed. You are blessed. When you trust God, you are blessed. Don't ever think that you are not blessed. All right? Because your condition doesn't change your position before God. All right? Because it says in the beginning, Genesis, if you go back to the book of beginnings, where it all started, Genesis. Genesis 1:28 said, God made man, male and female, and blessed them. All right? So you're already blessed. You ain't got to pray for a blessing. You're already blessed. You know what you got to pray? God, show me how I can walk in the blessing. Amen? Show me how to walk in the blessing, Lord. Show me how to walk. Verse 7, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters who spread out its roots by the river. He will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and he will not be anxious in the year of drought, and nor will he cease from yielding fruit. How you like that? All right? See, when you're blessed and you trust in God, it don't matter. All right? Because he said, listen, when I'm not going to fear when the heat comes. When the heat comes in your life, no matter where it comes from, all right, I'm not going to fear. Why? Because I'm blessed. I'm trusting in him. I'm not trusting in what I know. All right? I'm not trusting this economy. I'm not trusting the government. I'm trusting God. Amen? He said, and I won't be anxious in the year of drought. So a whole year could go by and ain't nothing coming in. 2 years went by, ain't nothing coming in, but I'm still trusting the Lord. Amen? See, sometimes we want the quick fix, and God has said, no, not the quick fix. See, because this here, what you're going through right now, even this is working together for the good. So don't be so quick to get out the fire, because it's in the fire where God is refining your life, where God is showing you, I'm approving you. Fire, I always tell people, fire has three things. Fire is the sign of God's judgment. Fire is the sign of God's approval. Or fire is the sign of God's purification in your life. All right? So don't be afraid of the fire. You go to King's fire, so you can't be afraid of fire. Our name got fire in it. Amen? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm done. I just want to do this right here. Okay? Listen to what it says. Because it says about the Holy Spirit searching our hearts. All right? God is about a heart thing. Everything you see about God, even when it came to Saul, it said that God does not see as man sees. Because man just looks on the outward appearance. Oh, he's good looking. Oh, she fine. All right? Man just look on the outward appearance. It said, but it is God that looks upon the heart. All right? And for all them people who always talk about, well, I would do it, or I did what they didn't do, but God knows my heart, right? Right? You heard that before, right? But God knows my heart, okay? Listen, God knows your heart. Look at verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Yeah, God knows your heart, all right. He knows that your heart is deceitful above all things. Now, that would have been enough right there. But then he goes on and says, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So don't be talking about God knows your heart. He sure does. But he says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, given to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So a lot of times we have to understand why so much is going on in my life. Well, what's the fruit of your doings? Amen? Because God is the one that's x-raying you. I ain't x-raying you. He is. Amen? But understand, I have been called. I have been designed by God's plan. All right? And it's up to me to be still enough to find out what God's plan is for your life. Amen? But regardless, as you're going through the plan, as you're going through the process, you know, remember, all things are working together for the good. All things. For those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things. It doesn't matter what it is. All things. With God, all things are possible. All things. The all things of God. All right? You can go do a little research. Go home and look out how many times in the Bible it says all things. All right? And what's all mean? All. All right? All things. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. It doesn't matter the situation or circumstance. All right? Don't make a permanent decision in a temporary situation. Okay? Because sometimes we'll walk, it's just a season that you're going through. But it's working together for your good. And that's what you have to understand. You might not like it. Like I said, I don't like it sometimes. But I know somewhere in this, it's working together for my good. Amen? And in all things, I am more than a conqueror. Read the rest of that. Read from verse 31 on down to verse 38, and you can start shouting in your house by yourself, all right? Because you're more than conqueror. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, that whole thing he talked about, can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you realize that? That death can't even separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that you're going to encounter that's going to separate you from the love of God unless you disconnect. That's the only thing. that will stop the love of God from flowing in your life is if you hit the disconnect button. Amen? So when you leave here today, remember, all things are working together for my good. All things are working together for my good. And you meditate on it. That's what meditating is. You just keep saying it over and over, even in your worst situation, in your worst circumstance. Continue to speak the word. Amen? Amen. Amen.